Good morning. Let me invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 28 through 30. I chose this passage because I knew it was going to be the New Year. So this past week, of course, with New Year's Day and lots of talk about New Year's resolutions. So I looked up a whole lot of New Year's resolutions, and I found my favorite, and I'm going to read it to you. Resolved: rest more, exercise more, stop more, smile more, sing more, read more, pray more, hug more, engage more, move towards others more, fear less, yell less, eat less, drink less, stress less, work less. Are you exhausted? I read that list and I was like, wow, I know now why I don't make resolutions. That was from our friend Tom Franklin, who's pastoring a church plant in Homewood. And he said, I'm not doing well already at keeping any of these. Of course, New Year's resolutions can be good. Okay? But I chose this passage because for this season and thinking about a new year, I hope this will help us go deeper and further in to something that's even more powerful than resolving to do something. And that is resolving to go to Jesus. From Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of this, his holy word. So the Christmas and New Year's holidays are over. What have you found? What have they given you? And then as you consider the new year, 2020, what do you want to find? You know how Velcro works? Okay, Velcro, one side has a lot of tiny hooks. And then the other side has lots of tiny loops. And so when you press the Velcro together, it sticks. Well, this image came to me of we are walking around with that Velcro side of hooks. Okay, just completely wrapped up in lots and lots of hooks. And there's things all around us, things in the world that are vying to attach us to them. Something that you think is going to give you security, give you contentment, give you rest, and you just latch on to that. Those things that we believe will give us rest. So, of course, Jesus knows this, and he takes it head on. And so I want us to look at three ways that Jesus shows that he is the one, that he is the one answer to all of our longings for rest. He knows you, he knows himself, and he knows rest. So let's look. First, he knows you. Okay, so six times in these three verses, the word "you" is there. Plural, it's y'all. Come to me, y'all. What does he know about us? What does he know about you? He knows your burden, and he knows your desires. Okay. He knows what the people are facing. Okay, so in the context of Matthew, those who labor and heavy laden are those who are experiencing the heavy load and burden that the Jewish leaders have laid upon the people. They are their teachers. They are their rulers. And the scribes and Pharisees had been teaching lots and lots of extra things on top of the law of God. The law of God is a good gift, always has been, but they had turned it into a heavy burden. In order to be right with God, in order to stay right with God, the teachers had fallen for that ever-present temptation of just do it. Just show me the list. Just give me the rules. And here it is, now go and obey it. And so it was largely dependent on their own strength. Now, as God has always taught, the law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, is a good gift. It shows God's perfect holiness. It shows our inability to keep it. And it drives us to see our need for a Savior. But the rabbinic tradition had taken the law of God and added just minutia upon minutia to it. As one example, in order to keep the Sabbath holy, the fourth commandment, which was very important to the rabbis, this regulation was added. Now, this is just one of hundreds. Okay, but let me read it to you. If a man took out anything in his right hand or in his left hand and carried it on his shoulder, he is guilty. For this was the manner of carrying of the sons of Kohath. If he took it out with the back of his hand, or with his foot, or with his mouth or elbow, or carried it facing downwards, or in his shirt or shoe or sandal, he is not guilty, since he has not taken it out after the fashion of them that take out a burden. Can you imagine that? That was just one of the hundreds that they had added. And the tradition was that they thought that these additions to the law were actually helpful, when instead they were these heavy burdens. Jesus knows. So in the next chapter, chapter 12, Jesus takes the Sabbath back and he restores the Sabbath as a day of healing, as a day of rest, as a day of mercy. The law was never meant to be burdensome, but a gift to be enjoyed by the humble. Some of you have probably memorized Psalm 19. Here are a few things that the law does for the poor in spirit. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The rules of the Lord are true. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Jesus not only knows the burdens of the people in his day, he knows your today burdens. Jesus knows your human condition and our tendency and this drive that we have towards performance that's always lurking as a temptation. Do this, achieve this, accomplish this, and you will find rest finally. Look at what we've just been through. Okay, the Christmas season and New Year's. Christmas, of course, the glorious gift of celebrating Christ given for us. It can easily devolve into the pressure of, I got to get the right gift. I got to please the right people. I'm going to fall for the god of materialism. I'm going to overdo it in partying and celebrating. And then New Year's comes and it's like a reverse of everything that happened the week before. Now I'm going to resolve to fix all the things that I messed up. Okay? I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. Jesus knows our burdens. And deeper, he knows our temptations and our tendency towards self-dependence. From Adam and Eve on, we have fallen for the lie of selfish independence. I'm pretty good. I can figure this out. I've got this. And one reason I chose this passage is because sometimes I see and hear of the burdens that you place on yourselves, of the extraneous things that you bring into your lives trying to find life, trying to find rest, trying to find peace. And I see the heaviness and the weariness that some of you face because of that. Jesus knows our burdens, and he knows our desires. He knows you desire rest, so he offers himself. That leads us to our second point. He knows himself. 6 times he talks about you. 5 times Jesus says himself, me or I, his character, his way, his rule, his law. Look at me, he's saying. Now, Jesus knows who he is. Now, this might seem like an obvious point, but I'm highlighting it because Jesus is making a stark contrast between himself and all the other options. Following him is refreshment. Becoming his disciple brings rest, relief, peace, ease, and lightness. Following the religious way of attaining your self-worth through religious observance is hard and harsh and heavy, laborious. Following your own way of self-attainment, self-glorification, and self-accomplishment so that you are always winning, what a burden. I could tell you the name, but I won't because it would get you distracted. But a celebrity came out and said, really, I cry in front of the mirror every time that I have to get ready to go perform because of the pressure that is upon them every single time to get it right, to get it perfect, to have the crowd giving the accolades over and over, night after night. The pressure to perform is heavy, laborious. And on a much lighter scale, but some of you know the pressure of posting things on social media in order to present something about you, or shifting it just a little bit in order to make sure that you're still performing, that you're showing what you think you have to show. So who is Jesus? He's the most confident and self-assured person who ever lived. I mean, who could say this? Come to me all. Who could offer such a promise? I will give you rest. Well, if you have your Bible open, look up at verse 25, where Jesus says, I thank you, Father. He's claiming his sonship. He's claiming his equality with God. He is the Son of the Father. And then look down at verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things. He's claiming his authority. He's claiming his power. But not only his authority and his power, he tells us who he is of his character. This is the only place in the gospel accounts where Jesus tells us of his own heart, who he is from the center of his being. He's contrasting himself from the other teachers, and not just from the Jewish leaders, but from any who draw attention away from him and onto something or someone else. He is nothing like the self-help book peddlers. Girl, you just need to wash your face. Man up. You just need to get your act together, man. Nothing like that. Again, look back at verse 25. Jesus says, thank you, Lord, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. So Jesus is not braggadocious, cocky, arrogant. He's not demanding or harsh. He is gentle and lowly. He's humble. He's servant-hearted. He shocked the disciples by preparing himself as a slave in order to wash their feet. He demonstrated over and over again how he lived, how he led as humble, gentle, kind, and merciful. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick that just has the tiniest bit of life, he will not snuff it out. The great physician knows how to restore life to the broken, to the weary, to the heavily burdened. And how does he do it? How does he heal? How does he restore? How does he bring life? By inviting us to take up his yoke. But his is easy and light. So Jesus knows you. He knows himself. And last, he knows rest. One scholar suggests using the word relief when talking about this word rest. Relief from the heavy labors and relief for your souls. Relief from the crushing burdens of anxiety. The sense of frustration and futility that we all face from living in a broken world. And relief from the misery of a guilty conscience. Well, how do you get this rest? Well, first I want to look at some of the counterfeits to this rest, because there are many. You know a lot of them. The easy to believe lies. You'll find rest once you get it right. You have within you what you need to get what you want. Just believe in yourself. Look out for number one, because nobody cares about you as much as you do about yourself. Only you can define what is right for you. As long as you're happy, you'll be okay. And then another lie: if you get close enough to someone who has succeeded, whatever your definition of success is, you can glom onto them. You can share in their success. Idolatry of people. And then one more lie: busyness means that I am important, that I have value. Now, rest is also not laziness. Okay? Not doing nothing, not just vegging out. Okay? The world says work hard and live for the weekend. Live for leisure. To the world and to your natural self, performance-based living makes perfect sense. This is why Jesus is holding out to us in such stark language these contrasting ways. He's holding out these two ways. The way of faith in your performance, or the way of faith in his. Most people double down on their own performance. Oh, well, that didn't really work out the way that I was planning. I must have done something wrong. I'll just do better next time. And they live lives of just really intense and intensifying self-focus. Or they just live lives of hypocrisy. I'm good enough. I'm doing well enough. I compare myself to others who are less than me. And it makes me feel better about where I am. I'm measuring up well enough. But we know this is a game. This is a lie. It's a joke. Measure yourself against perfection and meet that. And yet there are some who still do. I came across free solo rock climbing. Okay, this is rock climbing along cliffs where you go, you know, hundreds or thousands of feet up in the air with a rope, right, and a carabiner and somebody at the bottom and all that. Well, these guys, that's what it means, free solo, no rope. Okay. And there's a documentary called Free Solo. It's about a guy who goes to Yosemite National Park and climbs El Capitan, one of the very famous cliffs to climb, and he does it no ropes, right? And everybody who's making the film and his girlfriend and himself, they know it's perfection or death. And they go through some people who have been famous free solo and got climbers, and now they're dead. And do you see the starkness of why this is so important? Because Jesus himself said, repent or perish. Which basically means get it perfect or die. And he doesn't want you to die. He wants you to see him and see your need for him and go to him. See? You perform or you die, or you put on Christ and you find rest. So taking up this yoke. Okay. Jesus is using a metaphor from the agricultural world. The yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals in order to attach then a plow or a cart or whatever so they can pull it. Okay. The yoke upon the people was the burdens of the law. Okay. Later, Jesus says of these Jewish leaders, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. So the yoke, think of it like this, designed for training oxen how to plow. So consider an older ox who's done this for a long time getting paired up with a younger ox. And when they're yoked together, the older the older ox is going to lead, okay? And the younger is yoked to him. He can't get out of it, all right? He's there. He's in it. This is what Jesus means about taking up his yoke. He's our older brother. He can teach us. He can lead us. But not harshly, gently, humbly. But the yoke is a commitment. It's a commitment that you cannot get out of. Okay? You're committing to his leadership, dying therefore to your own. Dying to your own way, your own self. So you must count the cost of it. Jesus is ready to help all those who are themselves humble enough to admit their need for his mercy and grace. And as you receive his gentle leadership, as you submit yourself to his teaching, you're enabled to work harder than you ever thought you could. It's supernatural because you're working for a different goal, working for the kingdom of God instead of for your own performance and worth in yourself. A great example of this was Joe Burrow, who just won the Heisman Trophy for the LSU Tigers. And in his Heisman acceptance speech, it's only 7 minutes long, go watch it, he talks about the rest, the security, the safety, the support, the affirmation that he received from all of the LSU coaching staff. Okay. And that, all that behind the scenes that nobody sees, is what enabled him to work hard, enabled him to be freed up to be who he is, which is a great quarterback, but enabled him to work hard at it, to be more and more engaged in what God had gifted him to do. It's the same for you, the same for me. The more you submit and rest in the yoke that Jesus has put on you, the more you welcome it, the more you are able to be who God made you to be and work hard at it. Because you're not working depending on your own performance grade. You're working based on receiving Jesus' performance for you. So, an application. For 2020, consider resolving to engage in the means of grace. Okay? The ways of receiving God's mercy, kindness, truth, joy to you. Okay? The practical action of putting on His yoke, of putting on Christ. The means of grace. Very simple. This is what grace does, Jesus is saying. I'm resolving, He says. I'm promising to you to give you what you desire, what you long for. Rest, contentment, assurance, peace. Okay. Your faith needs feeding. Your faith needs sustenance. For centuries, then, the church has taught us to tap into committing to learning from Jesus through the means of grace. What are they? His Word, the Bible, prayer, the sacraments, and worship. And consider the Bible reading plan. Started this week, and we have a Sunday school community class that enables you to share with others about what you're reading and talk about it, have some accountability through it. Prayer. Every day praying, help me with my unbelief, Lord. Help me to fight off all of those things that I'm tempted to hook into besides you, to find rest in. And then commitment to being, I only say this because I know what a gift it is for you, okay? This is not a preacher wagging his finger at you, all right? A commitment to being at worship services, okay? to enjoying the gift that it is, the gift that the Sabbath is for you. All of you love your church and love coming to worship, but what is the fill in the blank for you after that word, but? But this happened this week. I have this that, see, you're going to have attacks all the time during all the rest of your life. Because the enemy knows that this is a feast. This is your weekly feast on Him. And you get to do it with your people that you love and enjoy Him and delight in Him. It makes me want to preach a whole other sermon. And Jesus says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Because part of the gift of worship is Him strengthening your weariness. Him strengthening your weakness. And He's doing it through the worship service. See? Why is His yoke easy and light? Ultimately, because He is the Sabbath rest. He is Sabbath. He is rest. Not just that He knows it, not just that He offers it, but He Himself is rest. Look again at what He has done. To take up the literal cross piece, right? To take up the burden, put it on Himself. See? Place it on Himself in order to purchase your rest. That's why He can say this. That's why He can give you relief from the burdens that you place on yourselves to perform better. Will you put your faith all the more in His perfection? Then you can be all the more honest about your imperfections and glory in Jesus even more. He's inviting you then to make a New Year's resolution. Make the New Year's resolution to go to Him. To take Him up on this invitation. To assess your busy lives and your involvements. Get out a knife and look at those things. See? What can you cut out in order to enjoy Him more and His rest? Velcro. Years ago, David Letterman had the late night with David Letterman show. And he was always pulling these silly stunts. And one time he wrapped himself up in the fuzzy side of the Velcro. And, you know, it's all this setup and stuff, and I can't do all that. But anyway, he takes this fuzzy side of himself wrapped up in the Velcro, and he runs over here, and he jumps on one of those little trampolines, and he launches himself onto a wall that is the other side of the Velcro, right? And so when he hits the wall, he just sticks to the wall and is stuck there. And everybody laughs, ha, 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 that's so funny. See, if you know that you're already wrapped in the fuzzy side of the Velcro that has all the hooks in it, if you know that there's so many temptations for you to be hooked into all these other things, launch yourself on Christ every day. Lord, I am so prone to fall for these other traps of things that I think are going to give me rest. Help me to launch myself on Jesus. And he will. Take that running leap. Launch onto Christ. Because only he will hold you up. Only he will give you rest and security that you're longing for. In him alone. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, thank you for the gift of rest in Christ Jesus. Help us to believe. Help us to take you up on this invitation. Help us to go to you. Oh Lord, give us grace then to look at the things in our lives that we have gone to or that we are prone to go to that are not of you. Give us grace to launch ourselves on to Christ Jesus. Participate in the means of grace and receive again from you your rest. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.